Tom Neary, tape three. So, Tom, so Bury St Edmunds we were up to about there, I think.
So we might come back again a bit, assuming we're over, and we back to Gosfield Park. Now, at the end of July, if my memory is correct, we moved to Ipswich, and the battalion was stationed at Orwell Park School, about 3 miles out of Ipswich, right on the banks of the river. Well, during that time and before, for some unknown reason, was made an NCO corporal.
Oh, right.
In the B Company, 10th Platoon B Company, 1st East Lancashire.
Still a rifleman, though, Tom?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, during that time he was there, the scheme came along. I mentioned how we came to the Yankee War and the airfields.
Yeah.
And another division was opposing us. So while I was out on the scheme, about it must be the last day here enough, I was told to take a patrol out to try and contact the enemy to see if we find out where they were.
This was training manoeuvres, sort of thing.
So of course it was still dark in the early morning, before dawn. So we marched along, taking care, going along every section with me. Dawn came, no anything to eat, and so we marched there up to this village, and no contact anyone with anyone to find anything. So we coming back along this straight road, which in Suffolk, a very flat straight road. Sun was out in the distance, with this fellow coming along on a bike. So she said to me, "Hey, is that Sergeant Banks coming along on the bike?" Now Sergeant Banks had only just become platoon sergeant from somewhere else, because I was not major. The guy said got made available to sergeant major. Anyhow, he arrived, and I got some right choice language. In fact, the air was blue, and he was most abusive. So, and I hadn't done anything wrong. The battalion, so-and-so battalion, is waiting to entrust the very manoeuvres are over, but much worse than that. And there's such and such a thing. So I said to him, "Now, is there any such and such a thing around about you? You're the biggest bugger I know."
Yeah.
So he said, "We have to report, so let's speak the truth."
Yeah.
So I said, "And when you get back, you can inform the company commander that you can send these tapes right before they come down."
Yeah.
And he did so.
These are your stripes.
Yeah.
Your newly acquired two stripes.
Yeah. Very kindly informed him. So when we got back to the bivouac area, they didn't go a bit of length. They were quite a while before we embossed and got going. So he was being obnoxious. So when we went so far and then we bivouac again for the night. He wasn't on bivouac, so the company owner came up and said, "Come here, the company commander's going to go and check out over the hour." So I went up, and the butler was nice, and if I'm not mistaken, his name was either Terry Walker, captain. What is his trouble? There's no sharp banks here. Also, nothing, so I didn't come in the way it was. Well, he said, "About you, "Well, we'll talk to it when we get back." All right, that was the end of the matter. So, of course, we got back to Ipswich, Orwell Park, and the day following, I was going to come to the other way. So, when I was speaking with him, he said, "Well, whether it's not banks," I said, "I don't wish to discuss it, what he's done is,
yeah.
You don't." He said, "He said, yeah, but about this promote, this, in the corporal statue, you keep the order." I said, "No, I don't want them." He said, "Well, it's doing all right if you are." He said, "And so if you don't want to make best NCOs, you'll say you keep them." I said, "No, sir, I'd rather not." He asked me, "Did you keep them?" I said, "No, sir, I don't want them." So he said, "Let me get out, corporal, get out."
So still corporal. So he's still calling you, he still was insisting that you keep the stripes.
Yeah, it's bad to do that, you see.
Yeah.
But I didn't ask him in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's just, if my weakness I should not have done, really I should have just he said nothing. But he was so most abusive that in front of the men that I was leading, that I had to reply to him.
Yeah.
And he needn't approach it.
What were you like? I mean, at that time, Tom, you were how old were you then?
I got into 41.
Yeah.
I'm 22.
22. Yeah. You're not a teenager, but what are you? Are you do you have a temper at that stage, or are you a placid person? Quiet. Still quiet. Yeah.
Unless somebody.
Yeah. So if you were riled and you felt you were riled by this sergeant.
I would never have been subordinate. I was quiet. I don't say it myself. In all the company, I was all right, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They never made any bother, quiet man.
Yeah.
But nobody trained you to, you know. This fellow was most abusive. I'm not prepared to have some. He could have got me on the lawn, but I hadn't done anything wrong in any case.
Yes.
But because he had to go out to find the patrol, and he hadn't come back, he took it out on me. And there was no need to, because he was on his way back anyhow.
Yeah.
And he blinded me and called me all sorts of names.
Yeah. Because then you were losing face in front of the men that you were with.
Yeah, you should never do it, never. Well, obviously, so we'll not do that. I know it's out of one, but I know it's in training to do it. But you do not, under no circumstances, if you want to go, you go away and go.
Yeah.
So I went down in, so I told him that I thought, please.
So what happened? Did you keep your stripes, or did you?
No. So I was in the dugout. So about 3 weeks afterwards, they used to have RSM grade twice a week, I think it was, at half past 6 a.m. It was a bit lonely, I was then.
Yeah.
And this morning, it had the tent flaps rolled up, blankets in, let the air go through and all this year. And of course, go out across the tape shops and I've seen a soldier in this built tent of 18. So this day, we went out on parade, 6 o'clock in the morning. He's like, he says, attend, and the dog bark, and the old bullies come to attention.
Yeah.
So the RSM said, "You think I'm a bloody dog, do you?" He said, "Yes, sir." So anyhow, I'm not sure now if once in a week or twice in a week they would have the real clothes going on. They had company commander's inspection, and it was at half past 7 a.m. I think. So this morning, the company commander, Walker Taylor, he was called in, I stopped. Company commander's inspection. So, being a senior soldier, I had to be lost out to the belt then. Now, they had the right to see the swing in the centre of the pole to go around.
Yeah. You mean, so you had 3 rifles?
No, 8.
Oh, 8 rifles stood up around the central pole.
Yeah. So it's all been out, just from right to left, and so they told us mine. You know, it's instinctive. Probably all, even if I've got my rifle. So I get out on parade, of course, it was rifle inspection. He looked down this bloody barrel. Bloody 40, he said.
Yeah.
Well, I thought then, he thought, oh, it's you, he said. I don't want to know, he said. Put him on charge.
Excuse me, Tom, is this the sergeant you had the argument with?
No, this is the company commander.
Got it, okay.
Who I refused to.
Yeah.
Well, the interview, and he said, so I don't want to.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
So I come to the office. Anyhow, the day after, I come to the office, so I went in. Of course, he had filled me here, and he gave me 5 day CV. So from corporal down to general work. So I did one day. One night, and I'm passing the marking company office. The boy said, "Say, Tommy, hear it, come here." So I went to him and he said, "Is that amazing?" And he said, "We're not going to see you, of course." I said, "Yeah. All right, we're going to see you, of course." So the day after, I missed you, of course, so I never did any drinkers. Yeah. Sent on a civil course.
Yeah.
So I did 12 weeks, I think it was. And only it did me about 30 of this course. Good luck for my part.
But did you ever get your rifle back?
Oh yeah, they come back, it was under the sling.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I got my own rifle back, yeah.
So but you never
know your number, you know.
Yeah. But you never let on that the rifle that you got the charge for belonged to somebody else. What about the person that whose rifle that belonged to? Did he know that you got a charge for it?
Of course he knew.
Yeah. What was his reaction? Did he say anything?
No word said.
No word said.
Well, didn't bother, no.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would be unbothered really. Yeah. So he went on the signal course. 12 weeks. Now we didn't know at that time when we'd done or what we'd done, and they don't just tell you, see. So at the end of the course he said, you're on leave, and the first time we'd ever had 10 days leave. Up that time, 12 in 7 days.
Mm.
I've got 10 days. So I was at our class school, which was Johnny Lamb with a civil course with me, and Dish Taylor was the other man. So the company clerk was called Angelo Caracca.
Yes.
He came from Birmingham, nice little fellow. So we lived one way or another, where we should have gone at the Monday morning, or whatever night, I can't remember there. We went the night before, right, especially the night before.
Just add on here, Tom, because I'm not sure we've mentioned it before, when you said he came from Burnley. Of course, this is where you live now, and where you've lived really all your life in Burnley, and your family come from Burnley.
Sure.
Yeah.
And very obviously, Angelo Caracca was Italian descent.
Yeah.
Me, it tells, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, 10 days you'd have to kick back with him and everything. And we marched from all the ports, and now he eventually got a lift to get to the station at the Tiptridge. We got there and I got the train. Am I right? I said, I'm going to Guildford, really, or not?
Going to where?
Guildford.
Yeah. Going to where, though, Tom?
London.
From, well, Guildford is south of London, in Surrey.
So I wouldn't from the States.
And you're coming from where?
Ipswich.
No, you wouldn't.
Chelmsford,
then. Chelmsford you would have gone through.
Chelmsford.
Yes, you would.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Chelmsford. So we're finishing in London. Would I be right in, I'm trying to say the station, would it be...
Liverpool Street? Street? It would be.
So then we got to lift across to what they call it, Euston.
Yeah.
Up to Manchester. But we were told we had to report back to Malton in Yorkshire.
Mm.
So all the time we reported back to Malton, never been to Malton before. Get off there, it was night time, it was dark, out to the station. Well, there was just an odd truck there. Where? East Lancashire's. They looked at a place called Rillington, 5 miles out. But the only time he's gone on the scheme, we can't take it to the company, so they're off. So we went in on the pubs there, not a plant. And of course, you know, transport. So we stayed in the railway carriage all night. Morning came, they got back to the regiment at Rillington. Company office. We come back off the scheme. Company office. Major Gash. So we were around there, but we didn't get any, not we didn't get, that was it, we couldn't have to do it. Mm. So I was there at Burlington, and it would appear that we had been, that the regiment had been transferred, or whatever you want to call it, to the 2nd Div, 6th Brigade. And the sign was across keys. So, we're always there, we had this big parade with the brigadiers and the, what do you call them, the divisional commander coming around with the red hat on, bomb plane, march around and inspectors. So in our brigade, it was East Percy Sanctus 1st, Northumberland Fusiliers 1st, Dirt DLI. But for one reason or another, we after about at that time, there was two cows. And we moved to Nottingham into a mechanised infantry in an armoured division.
Mm.
So, 2nd Div. But that division, the 2nd Div, I understand, went out to Singapore and they were fighting in Kuiwa and the rest of it against the Japanese. So, we missed that.
But then, at this stage in the story, you've just finished your first course, signals course. So are you now a fully fledged army signaller?
I don't know anything, I haven't had any reports.
Right.
So we get to Nottingham. So I landed in Nottingham, and the regimental band was there playing. So they knew I was a musician, so they came along to me and said, the band down here from the depot, where the regiment played the big dance on tonight for everyone, you're a musician. We play guitar in the sand. What would you play in the band? I said, I've got the instrument, I can't do it. I'm weak on you. We'll get you one if you. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't do. So while I was there, we was in Nottingham, off the Mansfield Road. I can't forget the name. Across the fields was the asylum.
I might know the name if you mention it. What do you mean you felt quite at home, Tom?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're in this, it was a road running parallel off the Mansfield Road. I think it ended up with this. About, it would be nearly a mile out of the centre of Nottingham. So the big house up the steps, and we're in there in the rooms. So while we're there, company on to the company office. So I went in front of this old captain. He was also a pilot, a nice man he was. So Johnny Ram, myself, and this tailor were in front of him. He said, "You're being transferred to the signal platoon."
Yeah.
Oh, so it's from now, so he left to report headquarters, the signal platoon. So we went back and practiced stuff, coming down the steps. Who's unloading this 1508 but my favourite sergeant?
Right.
Thanks. Hey, here, come on board this year. I said, I'm going to RHQ, signal platoon, now I'm on the way. Damn! I'm in the brother's here. I'm calling yourself, he said.
But. Yeah, so you were going then to become a signaller in the army.
Yeah.
So you'd passed your tests, your exams, or whatever they were doing.
So when we got there, it was in this big park again, and it was called Robin of Railway, where we were, and it was in this big house, a school or something. And there were 16 of us had joined the signal platoon, but we hadn't finished the course.
Yeah.
So, we started there, and while we were there, it wasn't very long, and we moved from there to Northallerton. Landed at Northallerton just before Christmas 1941.
Yeah.
We were moved different ones, and we put over some sort of chapel out of the Baptist chapel. Well, but it was warm, because getting warm was underneath the chapel, and we were in this top room of the stage, and we were there. So I was there then, from that time until March.
Christmas 1941. When was Pearl Harbor, Tom? 40 or 41?
41, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. If that was, I think it's 41. So around that time, it seems, the news came, must have come through, that the Americans were now in the war.
That's right. If you remember right again,
yeah.
I remember when I was at Gosfield Park, which is the time that we knew that America had entered the war.
Right.
So that would be around about June, the girl, somewhere around that time, 41. So we're at Northallerton. So I was there, it was cold winter. We were there, and in March, he came along and he said, Neary, Lamb, and Taylor, you're transferred to Singles. Try to read them one, one of the others, transferred to Singles.
So 3 out of 16?
Yeah, more than that, it was 30 out of 40.
So what? So the training or the course must have been quite an intensive course, really.
Oh, yeah. You were to, apart from your line lane and your semaphore, and your Morse flag, and your oldest lamp, and your telephone exchange duties, single clerk, telephone operator, exchange operator, PBX, laying lines, different sort of knots, different sort of, you'd also to be put at most. Mm. You'd be able to be 12 words a minute.
Mm.
Right, as I like to say, I'm lucky. Maybe termination, I don't know, it could be 25, no problem. So, that, for that, you've got 9 minutes a day.
Yeah, so, but it was a course that took you through, 6 months intensive, took you through the whole thing. Mm. Radios and working radio sets and so on.
And repair and maintain them.
Right.
All that good. And then with that, you were across planks.
Yeah. Was that different types of radio sets, Tom?
At that time, all we had at that particular time was an 18 set, which had, if you're lucky, a range of about a mile. And it was, you carry it on your back, it could be about 30 pound weight, something like that.
Mm.
The battery inside it, the top part of it, I think it was the top part, it was the receiver, the bottom half, you could take them out, the transmitter.
Yeah.
So you had to, when you get on there, in the button, and the, when the command station would send out a signal, if you was at the company, they'd send it out, the battery would say, hello, station, Mike Charlie Williams, something like that, that would be 8 answers that day.
Mm.
Report my signals, but as far as that is, he'd say, tuning call now. And what he would do, he just keep his foot pressed like that, and he'd send a whistle out. And you would then tune your dial, and it would go, as it's tuned, it would go. When the whistle disappeared, you locked it.
Mm.
On neck.
Right. That means, I guess, that then your radio is tuned to your.
The command set.
Yeah. HQ.
All in net.
And they're all in the same.
All in the net, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he would call out with the England transit, corporate, it would be.
Yeah.
Report my signal, all the station is anxious to report my signal, so then you could, have a preference. Like Charlie Williams won for the A company, he'd answer, okay, over. Right, with then B company, right, Charlie Williams 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
So A, B, C, and D company support an additional.
Yeah. So how many? So there you were attached to B Company as a.
No, it was at Battalion Headquarters then.
Battalion Headquarters then, right? Okay.
All there unless you got schemes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you keep what you do in the meantime is you go around to the different places to play the what they had then Don Pies in the offices in the company offices the different companies. If within range, you maintain the lines out to them, you clean and make sure that the telephone was working okay. Then you would also run the signal office in your turn. You'd have your signal clerk, you'd be a senior, or you'd be the exchange operator, and then you'd have one of the, as the dispatch riders come in, you'd sign the docket, you'd go out with it, and then all the letters would come in, you'd only run the program, and you'd enter into the loop. And then send them out by our dispatch right? They come from Brigade, don't they? Send them out to their companies to distribute the mail.
So it's quite complex, really, even in that situation. Yeah.
Then they cross lines outside.
Mm.
And then, you know, what's going on, so from there, I've changed the signals, but anyway. Little lads are great friends of mine. They were upset when they didn't, and they had to go back to 16, or 14 or that. But one of them was in black and a bit annoying from 1939. And he was killed at the Waterloo.
Yes.
Dick Parkinson.
Oh, right.
And he was seen over the impasse, Dear friend.
Mm.
So I left B Company, see, from there, and of course I lost touch a bit, partly from if I went on the telephone, some duty I had to do.
Yeah.
So I was at Northampton then until June 1941. But in the meantime, around April, the changeover, I forgot to tell you, was that when we left, well, was at Reddington when we were in second year.
Yeah.
we had a new Italian comic came called Lieutenant Carlesini.
Yeah.
USA Meets.
Yeah.
So from there, you got the Italian up into shape. So it was with us from there till the October following. So from October 1941 to October 42. So he was with us in North Carolina all that time. He's got a sick office and become that. He's gone through controls.
Yeah.
And he then we moved to Malton, New Yorkshire. I remember in Malton, New Yorkshire, about June 1942. And he was there from there till March 43.
Mm.
And that's where the men got drowned on the river crossing. And the Derwent.
Yeah, I mean, there is, because I know that later in the battalion fighting, well later in 45, in an actual incident, people were drowned crossing the Aller. But this is in training, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what happened then, Tom?
Well, the notice came out from RHQ and the colonel that every man in the battalion had to swim, so therefore there was an extensive program being put on. Everyone in the battalion had to go and learn to swim. There were that many who couldn't, they said. Now, there was no local bus except down in the village of Norton, which all the level crosses, Malton and Norton, and this bus was an open air bus, concrete all down there from the open air. And the time of the year then would be, let's get this right, I'm not right sure, but maybe in September, October, I'm not right certain.
Yeah.
So they all threw down this path and took it a bit better that we thought to learn to swim.
Mm.
Now after he'd done the 6 week, he decided everybody could swim. So he called this exercise up that all the men had to be in full march FMO, full marching order, and they had to get across the Derwent.
Yeah.
So the tying it down to the riverbank, all by companies. Brilliant. Well, one exception, I think, so they swung across and put the rope from side to side. In they went without any rope. Even the strong swimmers, and they're going in, of course, if they're going across with the boots on, and the rides and the tin hats and the rest of it, we didn't know after, they were going down the drowning. The boots were caught in the reeds at the bottom of the river.
Reeds or weeds, Tom?
Reeds,
yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
I was on the bank from the going and ready going up.
Yeah.
I'd better thought at all. Anyhow, they're going down, so what was it called? They were stripped off, naked diving into saving, you know?
Yeah.
In fact, Johnny Sprague was one of them, he was major at Charlie Company, I think it was, at that time. He dived in to get them out, but anyhow, I don't know, five or seven were drowned.
So, you said that somebody put a rope across?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure. But I think it was B Company, and I think it was Major Setter, I think.
But the other companies, there were four companies, presumably. They just didn't put ropes across. They didn't put ropes across.
No.
And they should have done, I guess.
The police created a real stink. They said, first of all, they should have been asked about it before they did the crossing. And they would have told me something to do it, if they were, you know?
Yes.
So then, anyhow.
How deep was it, Tom, the river there, would you say?
I don't know. I would say 6 foot, I guess.
So it was pretty deep, wasn't it?
I think it would be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it was.
Yeah.
But anyhow, there's two brewers and all. So they went down and of course everything, that finished everything. And all the only signal officer, no, I wasn't done, but I think it was... Anyhow, they went into the CEO's room to give him a message. And he was on his desk, to, you know, in the dark, which of course he would be, SME. Anyhow, we moved up for about a week or fortnight after, and it was a big year.
How many were killed there, Tom?
Well, I can be, you know, I can be.
Roughly?
All the years, but I didn't have five or seven. I'm not
sure
which.
Yeah.
But I think it was five. But
yeah.
And there's one buried in Malton.
Right.
And there's also a sergeant, who was then one sergeant buried in Malton, and he was killed at the end, and I know him very well, like an old soldier.
Mm.
And he fell down the stairs and broke his neck over at Malton.
Oh dear.
Both of them are buried in Malton.
Yeah.
And about 4 years ago, with the association, I was chairman.
Yes.
I went to Malton, and they went to this camp with people.
Yeah.
So they went to the village and,
So that was the crossing when the people drowned. So from there, what happened?
So while we were there also, we had these traps with boats on this town, the river crossings.
Yeah.
So they had this in the river, racing between company and company with the traps down the river.
Yeah.
Getting traps with boats, but you know, it was great fun.
Yeah.
And then we went on one manoeuvre to Hull and across the estuary in these traps and these traps with boats. In the night time, that was a part of the exercise we did then. So I was there then until...
It's just a thought there, Tom, because this is 1942, isn't it?
That's right.
So the fear of invasion has gone at that stage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these sort of manoeuvres on rivers and going across water and river crossings seem to tell me that's not a defensive training exercise.
No, it's offensive.
It's offensive, isn't it?
That's right.
So they must have already been thinking about channel crossings and
that's
invasion
right.
And so on.
Yeah. So while I was at Malton, I went to my office and the message came in, and I don't know, you have intuition, and the message came in, they said, Dougie Lee, late, and they were for me,